L-I-F-E apostrophe S values. So many times we think that life's values are what the world thinks that they are. That life's values are, well, for instance, having a family. Life's values are having a good job, having wonderful children, doing all those sort of things. Those are life's values. We think that life's values are having a religion, having a philosophy, believing in something. And really, what are life's values? Now, our dog, Rex, here is a great teacher to us. And Rex comes up to us and he says, "My friends, I would like to make an announcement to you. Life's values are to play with me. That's the only reason that I have humans in my world, is to play with me and to feed me and to take care of me and to do my bidding. And other than that, humans have no other purpose on the face of the earth except to do my bidding. And when I'm passed on and the humans remain, they must find another pet to take care of, because that's their duty in life, is to be caretakers of pets. And naturally, I'm the most important pet because I am the pet now. And so as humans take care of me now, they are fulfilling their purpose. They are fulfilling their life's value. And when humans forget to take care of me, then they are not fulfilling their life's value." Now, excuse me, what is it to take care of me, Rex, a golden retriever? What is it to take care of me? Well, first off, the most important thing to take care of me, Rex says, is to love me. If you'll give me a cuddle and a huggle and a snuggle and a kiss and more hugs and more snuggles, I'll stand there and wait. I'm in no rush to do anything else. I don't even have to go to the bathroom. I'll stand there and wait while you hug me. I'll stand there and wait while you give me a big kiss. I'll stand there and wait while you pet me, and while you tickle me, and while you rub my back, and while you do all these things. I'll just stand there and wait. I just think that's wonderful. In fact, I'll lie down on my back and put my legs up and say, "Come on, rub my tummy," you know. And that's what I do. But that's what life's values are. Life's values are nothing more than to eat and sleep and play and run and have a good day. That's the only thing that life's values are for me, for Rex. Now, can our animals, our pets, be good teachers to us? And the answer, of course, is yes. Let's take any person, for instance. We'll take Ellen. And Ellen is a good example of life's examples, a life's purpose. Now, Ellen gets up in the morning and she looks in the mirror and says, "Oh, I've got wrinkles." And now, Rex would never do that. Rex would not be so bothered by such an unimportant thing. And Ellen looks in the mirror and she says, "Okay, what is, I like me." And she says, "I like me." And the mirror says back, "You got it, girl, you got it." And as she says that, she has a smile on her face. And then she looks at her teeth and she says, "Golly, they certainly are beautiful. I mean, Stefan may have white, brilliant teeth, but mine, wow, are they great, you know." And then she looks at her complexion and she's, "Oh, like a baby's bottom. Just so gentle, so beautiful. And look at my hair. It's silky. And just, you touch it, and it's just like touching Rex's hair. Just like touching satin. And it's so beautiful and so wonderful. And my ears, oh, when I touch my ears, they're just so perfectly formed for my particular body. My nose, it is just the perfect nose. Oh, my nose is so wonderful. Wow." Everybody who looks at my nose says, "Isn't that a cute little nose, you know?" And when they look at my lips, they say, "Oh, wow, your lips are the most beautifully formed lips of any woman on the face of the earth. You have just chosen the most perfect set of lips that exist, you know." And they're kissable too, yeah. And then your eyes, oh, look at those eyes. Filled with such compassion, with such love, with such deep spiritual quality to them. You look into those eyes and immediately you feel confidence, you feel love, you feel goodness, you feel peace, you feel warmth, you feel love. My goodness, so much love. And other people say, I didn't see that when I looked in my eyes. Yeah, well, Ellen says, look in my eyes, you'll see that all. And how come you have it and I don't have it? Well, because I let it out. You've got it in yourself too, but you're not letting it out. You're letting out worries, you're letting out concerns, you're letting out anger, you're letting out anxiety, you're letting out tension. And Ellen says, I don't even know the meaning of those words. Those words have nothing to do in my life. She says, I don't have a worry bone in my life. I don't have a worry bone in my body. I am such a peaceful, gentle, loving, caring self. I know what my values are. I have trained under Master Rex, the great teacher of knowing life's values. And Rex taught me the first thing to do is to sleep well. And the next thing to do is to wiggle my whole body. And anytime anybody comes along, wiggle my tail. And just show how delighted I am to see anybody. Now, for a human to wiggle their tail, people get the wrong idea. But the thing is, if you think of it like a dog, then that's okay, you know. Because people do, well, you know, what does a little child do when you come up and say, we're going to go to the movie? Oh, they shake themselves and they wiggle themselves and they're so happy. Their whole body, legs, the bottom, the top, the middle, everything wiggles. And they're just so happy. And when you say, hey, do you know what today is? No. What is today? Today is Daddy's birthday, and we're going to have a birthday party. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. It doesn't have to be their birthday party. It's anybody's birthday party. Are we going to have balloons? Are we going to have candles? Are we going to have cake? Are we going to have all sorts of presents? And do I get a present, too, on Daddy's birthday? Why, of course, everybody gets a present on Daddy's birthday. The present is you get Daddy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, can I keep them? Can I take them home? Sure. But you see, life's values are the value of finding joy and happiness. If a person, you know, I often refer to people who live in third world countries, and for instance, tribes out in the middle of Africa where the children are living out in the desert, maybe even the Arabs and others, but mainly the desert children in Africa, the black children. And they don't have any shoes. They don't have any toys. They don't have any television. They don't have any cars. They don't have any goat or they don't have a horse or anything to take them around. And they may have a flock of sheep or something like that. And they may stand on one foot. You see pictures of them in the African Art Gallery at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. And one of the famous pictures is a young African boy. He's naked, standing there with his foot up on his calf, on one foot, and then leaning on his staff. So he only has to have one foot hot on the ground at a time. And he doesn't know he doesn't have clothes. He doesn't know he doesn't have shoes. He doesn't know he doesn't have all the things that city boys and girls have. All he knows is that he's doing what he likes to do. That's all he knows to do, to herd those sheep. Come home in the evening and have his father and mother say, well, how are the sheep today, son? Oh, just fine. And have you put them all down to bed tonight? Yep, they're all right around our compound here. And did you have any problems? Nope. Everything was all just perfect. And so the little kids go out and kick the can. They don't have a can because they don't have a canned goods, you know. But they kick a stick or something. Or not a stone, certainly. Sometimes they're, oh, a gourd. You know, they kick a gourd. And they'll kick this gourd. It's like a big pumpkin, you know. It's hollow inside and light. And they'll kick it around. Not too heavy. They don't kick it too hard because they don't want to bust it. But they kick it lightly, you know, and more of a scoop with their foot. and they just kick it all over the place, and they're having fun, and they'll have all sorts of other little things that they'll use as toys, and they'll just play and have a good time. They don't know that they don't have city-bought toys, that they don't have Tonka toys or Tinker toys or all these other things, the Legos and what have you. They don't even know that they exist, and they're living in a happy, gentle life. And then when it gets dark outside, they all come and gather around the fire. They sit by the fire, and the elders of their family, or maybe not the elder, tell stories. And they'll say, "Well, John, what did you do while you're herding your sheep today?" "Well, Mom, you know, I was watching the horizon, and I could see the wildebeest as they were running along the horizon. It was so beautiful, and they're just thundering along. And I wasn't thinking of my sheep at all. I was just thinking of those guys, and I was thinking, how beautiful they look way off there, you know? And then I saw a couple of snakes, and they were down by the river when I was taking the sheep down to water them. And these snakes were just sort of wiggling around, and the sheep were drinking in the water, and the snakes were right next to them and didn't even disturb them. Because I surrounded my sheep with my love, and I said, 'You're all filled with my love, and everything is good for you, sheep.' And then the snakes just swam away, and there was even a crocodile there. And the crocodile, he just sat there, and he just yawned and closed his mouth, and he says, 'Oh, those sheep are too big for me.'" And he didn't bother us at all. And, you know, Mom, I had a wonderful day. And, you know, it's such a lovely day. The sun was shining all day long, just beautiful and bright, so nice. And Mother said, "Well, that's great. Now, Sally, what did you do today?" And Sally says, "Well, I helped Mother. I went out into the reeds, and I brought back all sorts of reeds, and I gave the reeds to Mother so that she could make me a new skirt, or she could make me a new hat, or make me whatever she was going to make me." "Yes. And she brought me all, I brought her all those things, and she made something very nice for me right then when I brought it to her. She didn't wait until later. But she showed me how to make it pliable, how to make the reeds so that they were into fabrics so that I could do things. And, oh, it was such fun." Well, when Daddy came home, he brought along a cow or something other, and they had some meat for supper, and they had good things to eat. And the story goes on. Now, the story is not a story of mid-city adventure. It's a story of enjoying all the things that happen as they happen. And those children had more delight than most children have in a lifetime, because they lived in the moment, and they lived in the moment of the joy of what they were doing, without any feeling of responsibility, without any feeling of tomorrow, without any feeling of what did they do yesterday, but just with the feeling of the most pure delight. Now, this is what we all can have. This is what we all can have when we remember what our values are in life. What are our values in life? Rex came up to me, and he brought me his play toy. And I'm giving a talk right now. You know I'm giving a talk. You can hear me giving a talk, you know. "Rex, don't you know I'm giving a talk?" And he brings his toy right up to me. And I look at him and I say, "Oh, you're a good guy." I don't say, "No, I'm not going to play with you. Can't you see I'm giving a talk? Why are you bothering me while I'm giving a talk?" It doesn't frustrate me. I just look at him because I know all he wants to do is have his values. And I say, "You're a wonderful puppy, Rex. You know, you're a good guy." So he takes his toy and he throws it up in the air and it lands behind the curtain. And he goes and lays down and takes a rest. And he says, "Well, I guess I'll just take a nap until it's time to play again." And you're saying that we should do that, Herb? Sure. That's what we should do. Everything we do in life should be play. It should be a joy. It should be a delight. It should be a fulfilling symphony of magic. When we clean the house not because it's dirty. We clean the house because that's our routine. We clean the house. Now, why do the little boys in the tribe tell stories in the evening? It's a routine. It's not because they have to tell stories. And if they haven't got a story, they make one up. And if they make one up, everybody knows they made it up, and they're not thinking, you saw a tiger today, and that tiger was going to eat you up, and he chased you around a tree, and when he got around the tree, and 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 he turned into butter? Wow! Where's the butter? You know, right here. Wow! You know? Games. Some of them real, some of them fictional, but all of them lots of fun. They set life's values. And it's up to us to find in life's values all the joy that we can. Let's be like Rex. Never be frustrated. Oh, he wants to go wherever I go. And when I say, no, stay, he lays down, takes a nap. It doesn't bother him. When I come back, oh, he is so happy to see me. He's jumping up and down, and he's shaking her all around. And I grab him, and I hug him, and I say, hi, good guy. You know, you're a wonderful boy. And I come in the house, and I see that he has moved a few things around. And I have to say to him, now, Rex, this is not what you want to do. That's my stuff. And he says, but I want to play, you know. And I thought that was something to play. And I wanted to make a statement, too, you know. And I said, well, Rex, you make a statement with your tail. That's the best way to do it. Just wiggle that until it can't wiggle anymore. Life's values are to live a happy life. I can give you $1 million, $1 billion. I can give you the Shangri-La, the Taj Mahal. I can give you IBM. I can give you any one of these large, beautiful corporations and let you run it and give you responsibility. But why? Would that make you happy? Now, don't go saying it won't. Would that make you happy to run a big corporation? Would that make you happy to run a little corporation? You are running the corporation that is the most important corporation in the world right now, and that's your body, your life, and your affairs. And the kind of thoughts that you think in your mind, in your body, in your life, and your affairs are the kind of thoughts that's going to impact upon you as a person more than anything else in the world. What you do for IBM may impact upon the outer world. It may do different things, but will it impact upon your life? Will you be happy? Were the people in Enron who caused other people to lose so much money and they had so much money and living high on the hog, were they really happy? No. Were they really happy to realize that they were cheating and stealing and doing things? No. Did they have to go to prison for doing that? Some do. Did they catch all of them? No, but all of them were caught because all of them have in their consciousness that they did something that they would not want anyone else to do to them. And if you ever do anything that you wouldn't want somebody else to do to you, then you've already had your lesson. You've already had your prison. And be careful. Never do anything to anybody else you wouldn't want somebody to do to you. Anything. And that's hard for a lot of people, because a lot of people feel that they're the world's keepers. They're their brother's keeper. And so long as you're your brother's keeper, you have a thankless, endless job, and nobody appreciates you doing it at all. When a mother grabs a child who's going to fall and keeps him from hurting himself, the child will never learn to walk by himself. Because the child needs to have the ability of confidence, of learning to stand, learning to catch himself in the fall, and then pretty soon not falling at all. Little children can do the craziest, dumbest, most fantastic things in the world and not get hurt, because that's just part of their game. And you too. You do the most crazy, fantastic, positive things in the world, and you just have a joy in it. Well, have more of it. For that is what the real value of life is. Good start, huh? I enjoy you. I enjoy you. I enjoy you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.